Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren here on this Spring Forward Sunday. For those of you watching on the video on the other side, we hope that you made it here on time. You'll think about that one while you're watching, going, what is wrong with him? Let me clue you in a lot. Our sermon today is called I Saw God. And our scripture lesson today comes from Genesis. In case you've forgotten, that's the very first book. Genesis chapter 32, starting in the 22nd verse. While you're looking that up, I am lost for a moment to think about two guys that went on safari over in Africa. And after trudging through the woods, they happened upon a clearing. And as they stepped into the clearing, so did a ferocious man-eating lion. And he began to charge at them. And the one looked at the other and said, now what do we do? And the other one said, well, don't you remember our survival guide, the book we read? When you see a lion, stop and stand perfectly still, and he'll stop too. And so they did. And the lion got within 5 feet of them and screeched to a stop and sat down looking at him for a moment. And after a minute, the one turned to the other one, leaned over and said, yeah, but what if the lion didn't read the book also? May God add his blessings to our passages as we seek him through the word. Genesis chapter 32, verse 22. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford at Jabbok. And after he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. The man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. But Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. And so Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. May God add his blessings to this as we seek him. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these words that you have given forth, that we may hear them, that we may grow, that we may strengthen, that we may walk forward, knowing you a little closer and hearing the sweet sound of the gospel even more. Let us be filled with it, that we may show people that we come into contact with the blessing that is Jesus Christ. Watch over and keep us in this message in this time. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said, amen. I think it was 2004. It was late spring, early summer, 2004. When the pastor at Harmony Church of the Brethren, Tracy Weiser, came to me and said, Paul, I haven't had a vacation in a while. Okay. He goes, I'm going on vacation. I said, all right. He goes, you're on the worship committee. Yeah, because my wife told me I had to do something. He said, well, you're the worship committee. You're a preacher's son. So I'm tapping you. Didn't ask. I'm tapping you to preach for me on that Sunday. And I said, no. Not doing that. Get somebody else to do that. And he said, please. Man, I hate it when people say please to me. What am I supposed to do? So I said, okay. Now what you don't understand is, that wasn't my first time behind the altar. If you grow up the son of a preacher, the grandson, the nephew, the great-great-great-grandson, the great nephew, and on down the line of brethren preachers, everybody automatically thinks that you are going to be a preacher. And I struggled with that all against my life. I was asked all the time, are you going to become a preacher? Are you going to become a preacher? As a little kid, people would tussle my hair. And they'd say, are you going to become a preacher like your dad? And I would say, no! No, thank you. They're boring. They are no fun. Now, I know my dad, and I love my dad. And my dad was a lot of fun. And my grandfather was a preacher, and he was a lot of fun. Because he would take us and do things, and he would buy fireworks for us to blow up in the yard and make my grandmother mad. That was a lot of fun. But they had to behave themselves somewhat. Not interested in that. On Youth Sunday, I was always the one. Because, oh, your dad's the preacher, so you can preach. I don't want to do that. I just want to sit in the back of the church and color. That's all I was ever about. But that Sunday, for some reason, the Church of the Brethren DE, the district executive, decided to come in for a visit. And that church was full that Sunday. And I got up and preached, and I did what I do. And I got done, and afterwards, I started getting hounded to become a preacher. The DE called me, caught me after church and said, come here, I want to talk to you. And I walked over there, and he goes, you have the gift. I don't care. He goes, I'm going to call you this week. I'm not going to answer the phone. Now, of course, this was before caller ID, so when it rang, you had to answer it. And he called and he said, Paul, you really need to think about it. No, thank you. You really need to think about it. No, I don't want to do it. But there it was. And I struggled with it. I know that I had a gift. I had one. Awards in public speaking in 4-H, and I had taken public speaking when I was in FFA, and I had done well, but it was not me. That was not where I was supposed to be. I wanted to be where I wanted to be, doing what I wanted to do, whenever I wanted to do it, the way I wanted to do it, and I didn't care what anybody else thought. And I wrestled with it, and I was always scheming on different ways and different things to have fun and do whatever I wanted to do. I fought with and ignored, are you ready for it? God. I did that because I thought, I'm Paul Leatherman. I can do whatever I want. I don't owe anybody anything, anywheres, at any time, for any reason. And so I ignored him. And I became like Colonel Johann Rahl. John, who was Colonel Johann Rahl? And you failed. I thought you could do that right there off the bat. Colonel Johann Rahl. Anybody else in here know who he was? He was a strategist. He was an incredible commander. And he commanded German soldiers. A loyalist spy had come to the headquarters where Johann Rahl was at. He had an urgent message that General George Washington was going to try something very daring, that him and his Continental Army were going to cross the Delaware River and try to surprise the Hessian Army. The spy was denied the audience with the commander. And so he wrote everything out on a slip of paper and sent it in. The porter took the piece of paper into Commander or Colonel Johann Rahl, but because he was so involved in his poker game and so busy doing what he wanted to do, he shoved it into his pockets. And a little while later on, he began to hear the musket fire and the cannons and the hollering and screaming. And when he jumped up and ran out the door of his headquarters, General George Washington had crossed the Delaware, had marched into Trenton, had come upon them, and took them out on Christmas day after in 1776. They got their first victory because someone ignored a directive. We ignore God. Don't sit there and say you don't. At times, no matter how good you are, no matter how great you are, sometimes when the word comes to you, you just don't want to hear it. And do you know why? Because right will always be right. That's the long and short of it. I'm 56 years old. I get lost in that because I'm younger than my wife. Not really. I'm going to pay for that one. She's here. She wasn't here last Sunday. We need to have a little fun. I am 56 years old and I'm hearing things like, do you really need that third piece of pie? Well, I maybe I do. Or things like, seriously, are you still not going to go get your hair cut? Well, yeah, I'm not going to get it cut. I got long hair. I'm at that age where I am struggling with what is right. And we all do. We struggle against some of the simplest things at times because we are human. We are fallible. We read the scripture today where Jacob struggled. Go back and reread the story of Jacob. He was a scheming, conniving individual. All Jacob wanted was what Jacob wanted. Stole the birthright from his big brother. Jacob, little skinny feller, Esau, great big man. He stole the birthright by covering himself up with cloths and pelts and made his father think that because his father was blind, that's big Esau. I'll give him the birthright. And Jacob got it. When Esau heard about it, he got mad and he come after him. And Jacob took off and ran away and hid and built himself up by saying to whomever, I can do this for you if you can do this for me. But here's what we have to put in our mind. God will eventually catch up to you, whether you like it or not. It may not be now. It may not be later. It may be much later. But God will catch up to you. And when he does, everything that you thought changes. The time has come for Jacob. Esau is upon him. Esau has found him and is going to exact his revenge. And we read in the scripture where Jacob knew what was coming. And so as one final effort, he decided to try to send everybody over there to stop Esau and give everything that he had to him. That night, Jacob got up, took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream and all of his possessions, God came to see Jacob. And they started to wrestle. And I'm not talking about the WWF off the top rope. I'm talking about actually wrestling. And they fought and they argued and they fought and they fought and they went through it all night long. Now, I love this scripture because if you read the next verse at 25, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, God saw that he could not overpower him. God, the man that made a bush burn without catching fire so that Moses would pay attention. God had told Moses, part the Red Sea, run across it and everything will be fine. God, who gave us Jesus, could not overpower him. There's a whole books, if you will, on theology based on these short scriptures as to what God actually saw. And one of the statements I read, or one of the things I understood, was God saw that now that he couldn't overpower him, God saw the strength in him and didn't want to release it away to nothing. And so God hit him on the side of the leg, on the hip, and slowed him down. The man said, that's enough. I'm out of here. Let go of me. It's daybreak. But Jacob, in his pain, realized where he was at, realized what was going on, and said, no, you have to bless me. Jacob didn't want a blessing, per se. Jacob wanted God to protect him because he knew what was coming. That's us. We struggle and we wrestle with the truth until we realize we're in trouble. And then we cry out, Father, protect me. Well, guess what? It's all right. That's the beauty of having our Lord That's the beauty of having that grace. That's the beauty of having that mercy. He doesn't expect us to be righteous or perfect. What God wants from us is to rely on Him. When He struck Jacob on the side, He crippled him and said, "Now you're going to pay attention to me. I will, Lord, protect me, bless me." And the man asked him, "What's your name?" "Jacob." And God changed his name to Israel, which means one who strives with God. You can go on ahead and read the rest of the story. As a matter of fact, I encourage you to, because in verse 30, Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." I have never seen God face to face, but I have seen God. I saw God. I saw the things that He could do. I saw the things that He wanted to be done. I saw when He broke me, when He crippled me, I saw it. And I realized it. We struggle so much. We allow fear and doubt to get a hold of us and twist us around. During World War II, a military governor met with General George Patton in Sicily. And when he talked about how brave and wonderful Patton was for his courage and bravery, Patton replied, "Sir, I am not a brave man. The truth is, I am a craven coward. I have never been within the sound of gunshot or in sight of battle in my whole life that I wasn't so scared that I sweat through the very palms of my hands." Years later, when his autobiography was published, it considered this significant statement, "I learned very early in my life never to take counsel in your fears." Jacob had fear. Israel had fear. And yet from this lesson, we can learn that within our own fears, within our own struggles, when we struggle with what God wants us, if we would simply let go and hold to Him and ask for Him, He will protect and bless us. And yet our struggles need not be. When we let the world carry us around in doubt and worry and fear, we need to be reminded of what we have. Isaiah 53 comes these words in the fourth verse. "Surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, was upon Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. We are all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord laid upon Him the iniquity of us all." We have doubt. We have fear. We have struggles. We get lost in certain things. It's what it is. But my encouragement is today is to remind yourself of who God is. G. Campbell Morgan was the great evangelist, and by the time he was 19 years old, he was a powerful, powerful preacher. But then suddenly he began to read the writings of Charles Darwin and John Tyndale and Thomas Huxley and Herbert Spencer, and he began to have doubt. He began to think, what if they're right? What if all of this stuff is real and God doesn't exist? He listened to their debates and he became more and more lost. And so what happened? What did this great, powerful preacher that hundreds, nay, thousands came to see? He gathered up all his books and put them in the cupboard and put a lock on it where he couldn't get to them. He said to himself, "I am no longer sure that this is what my father claims it to be, the word of God." And so he went down to the store and bought himself a brand new, untouched Bible. He said, "But of this I am sure, if this be the word of God, and I come to it with an unprejudiced and open mind, it will bring assurance, salvation, and calmness to my soul. The result, Morgan said, the Bible found me. And in 1883, it gave him the motivation to continue preaching and teaching, and he devoted himself first to studying, knowing, and becoming part within the Word of God. He struggled against God. He struggled against the truth. He struggled and struggled until the point came that he was wounded and asked God to bless him. And then he saw God. John chapter 16, verse 33, in Jesus' words, "I have told you these things so that you may in me have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." I saw God. Jacob said that, and today we do as well. In everything, everywhere, God is there. There was a little boy who was looking forward to the birthday party of a friend just down the street a couple blocks away. When the day arrived, a heavy snowfall and blizzard-like conditions made the sidewalks almost impassable. But the boy's father, sensing danger, hesitated to let his son go. The youngster, as they will do, reacted tearfully. "But Dad, all the other kids will be there, and their parents are letting them go. Boy, haven't we heard that one before?" The father thought for a moment and then said, "All right, you may go." Surprised but overjoyed, the boy bundled up and plunged into the raging storm. The driving snow made the visibility almost impossible, and it took him a half an hour to go one block. As he rang the doorbell, waiting for it to be opened, he turned around to look into the storm, and his eye caught the shadow of a retreating figure. It was his father, who had followed along in his son's step every foot of the way to make sure he was safe. Brothers and sisters, in the storm, in the trials, in the tribulations, in our struggles, in everything we have, when we think all is lost, we have God. And because we have God, we have Jesus Christ. And we are saved. We are blessed. In everything, in every way, I look every day so I can say, I saw God today. I saw him in the wren that landed on the porch rail and turned around and looked at me and went, cheep, cheep, cheep. I saw it in the fact that in the midst of everything yesterday, flowers are coming up. I saw God in the way that people greeted one another by saying, "I love you, I'm glad to see you," at an event I was at yesterday. Jacob leaves us this lesson. We don't need to struggle with God. We need to work alongside of him. We need to let him govern us. We need to realize that when we think we can do it alone, he still will always be there, watching us to keep us safely. After all, he did send his only begotten Son. Brothers and sisters, I pray blessings upon you. And I pray that tomorrow, today, the next hour, whenever, I pray that you catch something in the middle of your struggle, in the middle of your trial and tribulation, when you stand back and ask God to bless you, to protect you, to help you, that you can say, I saw God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you that you watch over us constantly. We know that you will, but we need to rely fully on you. We need to be there all the time, praying, talking, and living with you. We will continue to struggle. We will continue to fall short of the beauty and glory that you've given. But by your grace, we are picked up. By your grace, we are given salvation. By your grace, Jesus saves us. We see you, Father, in everything, everywhere, every day. Let us be reminded of that and that blessing. In your Son's name, we give thanks. Amen.